Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee. It's Richie D.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthew sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Nancy Cease and Desisto. We love you guys. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Old Probs. It's me, Ronnie. Ronnie Karam, you can find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast, which is back in full swing and full as ever with love. And here is my co-host and little bestie, Mr. Ben Mandelker of the B-Side blog, where he's just written a board game, top board games of the year post, so go read that, and of Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is this cartoon that he writes and does everything for on YouTube. So go subscribe and all that good stuff. Hi, Ben.
Hi, and you know what? I have to do something very shameless, but this is important to the Mandelker household. My boyfriend, Dominique Kelly, is a choreographer, and he is actually a choreographer on tonight's episode of Flirty Dancing on Fox.
Oh, cool.
This is actually like it's a really big deal. Like, it's he's like fully on camera. This is like a really high profile gig. So I'm going to encourage the audience to tune in and set your DVRs to watch Dom on Flirty Dancing tonight on Fox. I think it's at 8 o'clock. So if you could do that and give it some good ratings, that would actually really be like just very
Flirty
cool.
Dancing. I'm putting it on my dancing. YouTube TV, girl.
Yeah, check out that Flirty Dancing. It's cute. It's super cute.
Okay, just set it to record.
Yeah.
Boner time. So hot. Boner dancing. That's what it's called boner at my house.
Yeah, boner dancing. I'm down for that too.
Get a boner for Ben's boyfriend dancing. Only on Rocks. Ronnie Fox. So we are going to be traveling. Well, first of all, I'm traveling to Los Angeles to do the Watch What Crappens Crappy Awards. It's our 8th annual Watch What Crappens Awards. At least that's what our press release says, and I'm going to go with that.
Sure. We're bad with numbers. God forbid we write down a stupid date.
Yeah, that's going to be an amazing show. Thank you to everybody who's coming. It's going to be our biggest one yet. We've got some very special guests if they show up. If not, it's just going to be me and Ben. You're going to fucking deal with it, okay?
Yeah, works either way.
Yeah, and then we are going to go back on tour. Next week, we're going to be in Detroit and Columbus. Columbus, Ohio, and Detroit, Michigan. So get your tickets. Well, that's on the 24th and 25th. Then the following week, we're doing two shows in my town, Austin, Texas. And then the very next day, we're going to Houston, Texas. And then in February, we're going to Birmingham or Hoover, Alabama, New Orleans, Lawrence, Kansas, Omaha, Nebraska, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, Madison, Oklahoma City, Asbury Park, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco, and Boston. Okay, well, We are so excited to be back out there hooking you in all these different towns. Go to Watch What Crappens to find links for tickets. And also, that's where you're going to find our bonus episodes and our Crappens on Demand videos, which we do once at least a week. This week, we're doing Vanderpump Rules, which is right now. And guess what that right means? Now. You can see us.
Yeah, whoa. If you watch this on Crappens on Demand, you can see my CP2 tote bag hanging on the door of this room.
Right yeah, there. That's a very right sexy there. Bag. You can also my see, you know what, bag. I'm going to go crazy and I'm going to unblur my background.
Whoa.
That's right. You know what, I'm not
unblur my background. Say you love me forever.
Okay, there you go. It's unblurred. Whoa. You can see all my beautiful Crappens artwork behind me on the wall, which one day we'll hang up.
Much cleaner than mine. Yours is like a lovely couch with artwork. Mine is like a rumpled tote bag and stacks of board games.
Well, either way, a sailor hat. The point is we're both hot, so that's the reason to be here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, naturally. Forgot to mention that part.
So today's
episode.
We could
be waiters at Sure.
Today's episode of, yeah, we're sorry, you have to work, you have to be hot to be on this podcast. Oh!
Oh, Mariposa.
So today's episode of Vanderpump Rules, oh wow.
Wow.
Jax actually comes on and makes some kind of sense. Also, yeah, whatever Jax really is sanding down his face with, I want that human face sander. It looks like he's a piece of wood that has been polished down, and that's a compliment. It looks great.
He looks like a porcelain doll. It's just like shiny and round with like little perfect blush with the rosy cheeks. I was like, he is like buffed and polished right now. And he was making more sense than he ever has in his entire life. Like, how is Jax, like, not just the voice of reason, he is like the megaphone of reason on this episode. It was really, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Of course, he's being the voice of reason with Kristen, who is completely cuckoo. So, I mean, I don't know. But you know what? Take it when you can get it. Take the small blessings where you can
I
get
know.
Them.
Maybe he has grown. Maybe there is a Jax 2.0.
No, there's not. Jax has not grown, but his face has been polished greatly, and I want to know how. So if anybody knows
smooth,
the secret, get
shiny.
It over here. Polish off this rosacea. I mean, how do I have a little rosacea bump here? From being a drunk, that's why. But then how does he not? You know? A facial sander, that's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's like a gun that you do that you rub on your face. I forget what it's called, but I think they sell it at like Sephora or whatever.
Well, listen, I'm in Texas right now. I don't want to go into a store and ask for a gun. Okay.
So then just go find like an armadillo and be like it's called the armadillo scrub.
So,
Texas and St. Louis.
Where do you want to start today, Ben? Where do you
want to start? I want to start with Trixie Monocle. The show, like literally the opening credits are done and Trixie Monocle is ready with a capital R. She goes, "Let's go." And it's like such a classic throwback sort of Trixie Monocle song where there's no lyrics, just calls to action like, "Let's go." Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. 1, 2, 3, 4. Dun, 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 dun. Let's go. Dun, 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 dun. 1, 2, 3, 4. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Click the below link.
She's like, you know what, Paul? I'm getting back to my roots. Okay, I'm just gonna sing fun music for fun people and have a fun time, and that's it, Paul. Hit record.
She's like, this song is gonna be called "Come On," and Paul's like, Trixie, we've already done "Come On." She's like, damn it, what am I gonna do? And she's like throwing things all around the studio, and then she comes back like 5 hours later with white powder all over her nose and a needle sticking out of her arm, and she's like, I've got it, we're gonna call it "Let's Go." 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let's go, Paul. I'm just giving the people what they want, okay? For years, I've tried to do my own thing. I've tried to be an artist. But you know what? The people want one thing from Trixie Monocle and one thing only. And you know what it is? It's called "Let's Go." 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let's go. So Brittany is getting her hair done. My hair and makeup, people. She's like, you know what? I have an idea about my hair. What if my hair went over on the side? That would look real pretty, too.
I was like, what is Brittany's life going to be like when this wedding is over? I mean, like, I guess children are next, but like, this is what her life is.
Should I put my hair down my side? It'd be pretty cool. I think I was telling Jackson it'd be like really pretty and such. And like, I was like, I think it'd be pretty, but like, maybe it won't be that pretty.
So the professional makeup artists and hair people are like, okay, let's take that advice. So she's going to do, for the wedding, I'm doing a boudoir show. Is it boudoir or boudoir? It's boudoir, you simpleton.
Slap. Lisa Vanderpump just comes in and slaps her. How dare you use the European word? These are my people. So, she's doing a boudoir photo shoot as a wedding gift. So, of course, that means that Stassi and Lala have to come over. So, once again, another thing that people are obligated to go to for this damn wedding. Once again, I mean, just these two are just milking it for every amount, every grain of attention they can get.
Yes, and she's going to do her boudoir photos are one of them's in a bathtub. I guess they're all in a bathtub. So she's in a bathtub, and she does the squat. There are yellow things in the bathtub. Are you seeing this? Oh, you don't have the screen.
Macaroni and cheese.
I want you to get a shot of my elbow. No, my elbow pasta. Turns Jax on every time.
She was in there in the bubbles, and I don't know if you noticed it. She was holding a teeny tiny mason jar. It had like a little handle. She was just like holding it up, like, look at me. I'm sexy, but I also have miniature glasses too.
Okay, I'm sending you this picture so you could see what these yellow things are in the tub. They're very distracting. Okay. Are they rubber duckies? I don't know what they are. Okay, so then she squats over in the tub. She squats down in the tub, and guess what her tramp stamp is? Did we already know that this is her tramp stamp? It's fucking fleur-de-lis.
Yeah, it's like, you know, somewhere Gretchen Rossi just like had a lady boner. She's like a fleur-de-lis and a tramp stamp all in one. Wow. Who gets a fleur-de-lis as their tramp stamp?
That is like someone who really likes a Ross Dress for Less, like shopping, you know, home shopping area.
Yeah, who makes their tramp stamp like home decor, you know?
And also, if you look at it, it looks kind of like she's getting an x-ray, you know, and you're just seeing what's inside of her.
A fleur-de-lis.
Right up her...
I saw the wall sign.
Right up her...
She, I can't tell what the yellow things are. Maybe they're petals. Or maybe there's like rubber duckies.
I bet you're right. I'll bet they're petals.
Or maybe
petals.
She just like spilled some peeps in there. She's like, wait, can I have my peeps?
So, let's see.
Is that a vacuum behind? What is that contraption that's behind the tub?
Faucet. It's the faucet.
Oh, that's the faucet.
Yeah.
Hi, what's that thing that goes in the tub? It's a faucet. Oh, you don't just fill it up by the bucket?
As we talk about what a moron Brittany is for 20 minutes.
I know, and I'm like, what's
that
thing?
What is the water coming out of?
Well, it wouldn't like shock me if they like stored their vacuum next to the bathtub. That's what I'm saying. It sort of looked like a vacuum because she was obscuring it with her pose.
Well, here's some general.
She has a fleur-de-lis on her ass.
Yes, and here's some general decorating advice. A bathroom is not the place for a stool made out of hair. You know those stools that are like fuzzy stools? Gross. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to think about your nasty. I don't want to think about that on a stool. You know, your nasty pubic hair or whatever that is. It's like a big moppy. It looks like she's going to sit on somebody's head.
I actually think there's no real place for a stool with like a what do you call it?
I would have to agree.
A shag stool, don't need it. Like
long-haired shag, yeah.
Long-haired shag. I don't need my stool to look like that. Me either. You know what? Give me a stool that has like a crew cut, okay? Like that's her stool I need. Actually, in general, I don't need any stools. I actually hate stools.
Yeah,
because
I like
no
stools. I like stools.
They're fine in theory.
I like to look
like,
at
you're
them.
Sitting on, yeah, until you sit on them for a while and then you're like, my back hurts. I can't lean back. Like, why have a stool when you can have a chair?
Hey, that's a good question. And why have a chair when you could have a bed? I mean, we could just go with this all day long.
Why have a bed when you could have...
No, like bed wins. I win. Yeah, I win because I said bed. The end of any argument, I'm just going to say bed. What about a bed? And then I'm going to win.
What about a bed? What about a bed?
Okay, the point is, Brittany looks like a napkin ring at Sir, is my point.
The point... Yes.
Fluidly.
So... And on top of that, she's holding a teeny tiny mason jar with a handle.
Yes. So Lala's advice to her is, I really like when you look off to the side, Britt. What do you think she's doing? I'm like, nothing is more symbolic of this marriage than Brittany looking away.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to get Jax harder than Brittany pretending she can't see him.
Exactly. Well, maybe if she makes him a ham sandwich once in a while, that could get him pretty hard. So then Stassi's like, if I did a boudoir photo with Bo, I'd be styled like Daenerys and be in a giant tub with ranch AF. Which is funny that she's still like holding on to Daenerys as an icon for her because, you know, Daenerys. Yeah. I'm not going to say what happened, but Daenerys.
No spoilers.
Actually, it's more like Daenerys came to Stassi, not so much that Stassi came to Daenerys.
No kidding. It's not like Stassi watched Game of Thrones. It's like Daenerys watched Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. By the way, so then they move over to the bed and like Brittany has laid out all sorts of stuff. I love how you like crack yourself up.
You cracked me up. That's so funny. Like Daenerys's road to hell was because she started liking Stassi on Vanderpump Rules.
She's like, Jon Snow, just raise your glass up high. These are the best times of our lives.
So yeah. So let's
this
see.
That Jon Snow. So they go over to Brittany's bed, which I mentioned only because there's now a sign that's over their bed that says the Couchies, because Jax's real last name is Couchy. So it's like the Couchies established June 29th, 2019. I was like, oh, come on. Oh,
I hate those established signs.
Stupid.
Oh, I hate them. And I hate them when they're like established in 2016. And you're like, that's like nothing. I'm going to Wendy's.
Oh,
like,
that's... I hate that. You at least have to have like 45 years before you can start to talk about when you were established.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe 20.
Yeah, totally.
But like, don't give me a reason. I hate like a 2 year, like you go to a menu that has all that fun, like that font that's like, this restaurant was started by farmers in Brooklyn, you know, and then it's like established in 2018. It's like, you know what? Stop trying to give yourself a legacy here. Okay. Yeah. You've been here a year.
Yeah.
Sir, just keep tending to your suspenders and your little page boy hat.
Yeah. And your handlebar mustache.
Ooh, wow. Really on a tear today.
So I know.
Seconds. Party.
So far, it's been 15 minutes of fleur-de-lis tattoos and anger at established sides. So that's yeah. That's where we're coming from today. So Lala, as Brittany would say it, is telling everybody about that. She's catching Stassi up on the housewarming, and she's like, Kristen was like ready to square off with me after Carter got pulled aside. Well, mind your own business, first of all. So then Brittany's like, but it's almost my wedding. What are we going to do? It's going to be my wedding and we have all these parties. What, are we going to have Carter there?
Yeah. Like, Brittany, don't even try to make this about your wedding right now. Like, see, this is exactly who Brittany is. Like, you're talking about something not even remotely related. She's like, I mean, the wedding is a month away from tomorrow. So I'm just, like, trying to smooth things out with everyone, you know, because my wedding's a month away from tomorrow. Did I mention that? My wedding's a month away from tomorrow.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone in this friend group is allowed to get mad at Kristen for being with somebody manipulative when they're supporting Brittany marrying Jax.
That's true. That's true. And so basically the question is, so Brittany's going to be having some sort of bachelorette party down in Miami, I think. And I guess the men are invited. The men are going too, because there's been a lot of talk that Carter is going to go down to the bachelorette party. I'm like, you realize it's a bachelorette party, right? But I guess it's like going to be
like...
Joint. Oh, that's... Yeah, it's a joint thing. So the thing is, it's like they don't want Carter to come because they don't want the drama to be there. Plus Kristen's saying they're broken up. And so it's like, will you be invited or not? And Brittany like doesn't want him there basically. And she's like, I mean, is this going to be a disaster? I mean, I've been dreaming for this day for so long and now there's going to be drama around it. It's like, oh my God, Brittany, please, please. This season's going to be really hard with Brittany. She's going to be awful.
Yeah. So far, she's not really bothering me. Isn't that weird? I think because I know that
cheery.
I think that I know because babies are next. Babies is when it's really going to get bad. Yeah, she's going to be
so
like,
bad.
Everybody want to come look at the little fleur-de-lis inside of me. Come on, let's go look at the X-ray of a fleur-de-lis.
Yeah, her baby's going to be called Fleur-de-Lisa. So Brittany is worried that like her wedding day is going to be a disaster because of all the stuff with Carter. And then Lala tells us that she's going to get back into the studio, the studio, and she's going to bring James. And so the girls are like, James.
Or she's calling him Jameson, which is really Jameson. Sensitive when you're talking to somebody trying to get off of alcohol.
Yeah.
So she is in the studio. That was just commercial.
She's saying that she's going to go, and she's basically saying how, like, She's like, you know, I've seen his like really great qualities, which is what was really important for me to just like yell at him all last season because he has so many great qualities. And I just makes me sad. You guys will never see his great qualities. And they're like, yeah, no thanks.
Why does Lala have on 5 different kinds of eyeliner? It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. She looks like a robot who's about to cry. And then she's the robot is also wearing eyeliner over the metal, if that makes any sense. She's got like metallic eyeliner that goes to her boogers, her eye boogers. And then she's got black eyeliner over that and some other kind of eyeliner over that.
It's a new look. It's just like what artists do, you know?
It's just what like rich people, like people who are like, I'm rich now.
Yeah, Lala is walking around this episode as if she is like a mentor on The Voice. I mean, she is like, I mean, I think that she's like just swinging around in chairs in her head all day long because she's acting like she's the authority on everything right now all of a sudden.
Yep. She's married to a rich guy or she's marrying a rich guy. So,
yeah, you know,
earned it. And hey, look, I say earned it. Earned it.
Earned it.
At
yeah.
this point.
So, with Russell, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
What's his name? Randall.
Randall. Yeah. Yeah, almost like my name, Rondell. You see? It's very close, which is why I can. And also, you know, I like to eat myself. And also, I'm probably older than Randall. How old is Randall, do you think? I'm basically the poor man's 67? Randall. 67. Yeah, exactly. totally my age. So Stassi's like, I am not on board with that, and I will not tell you I told you so, but I will think about it in my head.
Yeah. So then we go over to Villa Rosa, where we see Hanky and Panky swimming around, waiting for cockroaches to come back so they could peck at her. And then we also see the little miniature horses.
Yeah, and now far Lisa... be it from me to fat shame a horse, but Jesus Christ, would you walk those things around the backyard a little bit? My God.
I didn't even notice that that they were getting a little chubby horses.
I noticed it. I think because everybody's been telling me that Bueller's getting fat, and I'm like so sensitive. I'm like, who calls someone's pet fat? And then I was like, Ronnie, don't be so sensitive. It's okay to call a pet fat. So now every time I see a pet, I'm like, that fat pet.
You're just that fat pet. You're either doing that or you're just trying to deflect away to make yourself not feel as bad that Bueller has gotten fat. So you're going to be like, well, you're like they're fat too. So you like it normalizes it for you, you know.
I guess you know what else normalizes it? Bueller being fat. Okay, so yeah. I don't care. Who cares? Stop fat shaming a dog.
He's a fat dog. That's
He's
all
not
right.
even fat. Oh, where is he? He's not even here. He left. He heard it's what okay. we were talking about. He's
no,
like,
I think that he just looks. He looks fat. There's a lot of light coming through the window, but he just looks fat because. Since he's a Chihuahua Pitbull mix, he's got like a small Chihuahua head but a Pitbull body, so yeah. he'll always naturally look fat.
Yeah, he's got his big Pitbull chest that drags across the floor and stuff. Also, so
now
he
what
is
are you
going
to say to those horses? Now that
you're fat, you're fat too. You're fat too. And guess what? It's okay. I'm fat. Who cares? It means that we have. It's like when Delta Burke did that episode of Designing Women. All the young people were just like, "Oh my God, why am I listening to this?" But Delta Burke, when she was on Designing Women, she gained a bunch of weight. And she was playing this model or beauty pageant queen or whatever. And they had this episode called They Shoot Fat People, Don't They? And she won an Emmy for it because it was her like coming to terms with gaining all this weight. And she gave a speech and she was like, here I am at an event for starving children. And here I am crying about having too much when some of you have so little. And that's how I think of it. I'm fat. I'm rich. Okay, I can afford those little Debbie brownies that I just bought. I have $5.
Wow, you're really gonna probably like connect with Dana's comedy later this episode. So speaking of getting into shape, Lisa is in the backyard. She's taunting her fat horses by exercising. Her tiny fat horses are stuck there, yearning to get on a little horse treadmill, but they're stuck in the pen, and she's getting them all fat while she trims up. So Brett, the new server at Sir, who kissed Gina, and is now all like actually so defensive about it that it's making me wonder if. Well, we'll get to it, but he is there to train Lisa, and I kind of felt bad because last week I said that he looked like a weathered but hot. Tropical fish and I feel bad because
Why?
I don't well because I don't like to make fun of way people look, you know, like he can't help it if he looks like Dory but like a hot sexy version of Dory, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. I don't think fish are an offensive thing to look like. I mean, Dory's very cute. Ellen DeGeneres is worth cute. $97 zillion, and she's very confident.
Dory
she
had a blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
And I think that Brett could have a blockbuster movie, too, someday, if he gets lost.
Oh, gosh.
But I feel bad that I called him a hot, tropical fish that's like a sort of weathered. But that being said...
Didn't bug me.
I really feel like he does look like a fish. The more I look at him, I'm like, he is like a fish. He is a fish. He is our fish man. He is our resident fish man.
Well, he is working. He's the new trainer now because he needs things to do to get us introed. So Vanderpump's like, sir, it's a revolving door of beautiful people. It's like, really? Do they ever come out? Like, what happens? Because this, I said it last week and I'm going to say it again. Not hot enough. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my general casting note. Not hot enough. Okay.
Also, can we talk about Lisa's interview look? She's wearing, you know, like a hot pink sateen blouse, which is very standard. But then it's like she's wearing an exposed dickie, or it's like a big black exposed dickie. You know, it's like it almost looks like a napkin. Like it's not a cravat, it's not a tie. She just like has this triangle of black fabric right in front of her black sateen. I'm like, did we interrupt you while you were having a meal, Lisa? Are you just trying to wear a business suit? Like, why is there this like strange napkin?
I need one of those.
Dick?
Now that's a business. Just wearable neck napkins.
Yep. Called napkins.
So she's like, well, how is work? How is Sheena? And he's like, oh, she's nice. Oh, really? Nice? Is it bought you matching Barker loungers nice? Or bought you a penguin named Spot nice? Which kind of nice is it?
He's like, you know, Sheena and I made out once in her kitchen, and you'd think I got down on a knee and gave her a 6-carat ring. I'm like, well, it's Sheena. At this point, if you don't know about Sheena, that's going to be on you. Sir.
Yeah, you've seen this show. Also, yeah. You were thirsty enough to get with Sheena, you know, before the show, and now you're going to try and distance yourself during the show. That's not how that works, sir.
Yeah, okay. you actually went to Marina Del Rey to go to her apartment to play Scattergories. Okay, that's on you, sir.
There
that's
is
on
you, no sir. More mixed a signal than you can give somebody than driving to Marina Del Rey.
If you drive to Marina Del Rey and kiss someone, you are telling them that you want to be with them the rest of your life.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
That is a commitment, okay? Mm-hmm. That is a commitment. That is like Dr. Contessa Scott moving to Atlanta and being like, I want to marry you, Dr. Contessa, and you shall no longer move. This is it. That is basically what he did by going to Marina Del Rey.
Yeah, I would agree to marry somebody before I agreed to drive all the way to Marina Del Rey, okay?
Yeah, and also, can you blame Sheena for getting excited that someone actually came to her house and it wasn't even enchilada night?
I know, it wasn't Aunt Dee.
Yeah.
So, how's work? How's Sheena? How's Sheena? And he's like, we're just friends. You know what? I have to like hold a dictionary up to her face to show her what friends mean. I'm like, really? You're using the look it up in the dictionary thing? Who cast this?
I know. Seriously, I guess he forgot. I guess he forgot what Sheena was all about, but can't blame Dory. Little short-term memory joke, tropical fish callback.
Look it up in the dictionary. If I looked it up in the dictionary, I'd see your face right next to it.
So then, yeah, Brett's basically like, I'm not going to shag Sheena. And then the horse is like, brrr. And it's like, oh, even the horses have something to say about that. No, they want to exercise. They want to do push-ups.
And then poor Peter and his Adams family got rained on here. Oh, God.
Oh.
Bless his terrible little black heart. So he's standing there at the bar with the new girl, Charlie, who, of course, has to spell it with no E. You know, you just have to do that because you're on Vanderpump Rules.
Like, where did the E go, Charlie? Like... Where did
Charlie?
I don't even know.
Charlie,
why do you not have the E in your nickname? Where? Why was it too hard? Was it too Charlie? It bothers me on a very deep level.
So Peter, who's on top of everything as a manager, is like, "Are you new?"
Yeah,
Charlie. So far, I actually am very pro Charlie because she seems to look at everyone like, who the fuck are these people around me? Like, she just, she's like, I don't know. My agent told me I should audition for the show, and now I'm here, and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. She's like, I finally passed an audition, and I'm waiting tables. Can somebody explain this to me, please?
Yeah.
How is this winning?
So Peter's standing there with Charlie, and then Sheena walks up to them, and Sheena does the classic Sheena hello. She goes, hey, how are you? How are you?
Sheena, you're going to be training the new girl. What's your name again? Have we made out in the bathroom before? She's like, no. Peter just thinks he's made out with everybody in the bathroom.
Yeah. So Sheena's going to be training Brett and Dana and Charlie at Sir. And Sheena's like, you know, before yesterday, I knew Dana was as the girl that would walk by to get into my friend's bar. But now she's the girl who's not only fucking her boss, but my leftovers too. How are you?
Yeah, Sheena is trying to be kind of Stassi, and it's not working, Sheena, but it's adorable watching her try.
It is.
And speaking of adorable, she sees Charlie and she goes, you're adorable. So Dana's like, okay, so where are the pens at here? She goes, I bring my own. So,
and you know that's the process too. Every morning she wakes up, she's like, good ass girl, okay, which pen am I gonna do today? Eraser mate or one with a troll thing on the top of it?
I think she's
what pen for Sheena today?
I think she's one of those girls who has those pens we had in grade school where there's different colors on the pen and you push the little button down.
You push the one side. She does. Where there's like, it's like, because I used to love those, but like, you know, because there's like the ones that have like three colors, but then the one that has like 10, and she's like, I have this one with 10. And it's like the size of a missile because it has all those things in it.
Yeah. She's like, I've written my apps down in green, my entrees in blue, and my cocktails down in purple, and mixed drinks down in orange. It's like, Sheena! God damn it!
There's probably also like a liquid component where if you like hold the pen one way, there's nothing, but if you turn it the other way, like a little image of Sheena comes sliding down like,
God, you're giving Sheena the biggest conglomerate of pens.
Well, that's probably just like, here's my vision. Okay, I want a pen with 10 different colors, and then me, when you're tilted a certain way, I appear. Can you do that for me?
I'm a normal woman, and then if you turn the pen upside down, I'm a mermaid. Okay, so pens. Okay, so Peter, of course, another very professional manager thing. Peter's like, so, Charlie, you have a boyfriend?
Jesus Maybe you'll Christ. Find one today.
Yeah, Peter, maybe she will have luck today, but you won't. I can guarantee you that, old man Peter. Okay, just back it up with your ironed hair.
So then Sheena's YouTube tutorial on how to be a waitress is continuing on. She's, okay, when you polish glasses, we have a teapot with hot water, and then you put the glass on top, and it seems that instead of a dry napkin, it's like so much better. Yeah, like, does she have to be polishing all these glasses? No, but I had to do it, so I'm gonna make her polish them all. Okay, so first you use the teapot, you put water in the teapot, then you heat it up, and then you steam it, and it's like gonna get really wet, and then you put it on a napkin, and you're gonna dry. And I was like, yes. Tina's just like, I know how to do this. Yes, it's called cleaning glasses.
Sorry, but what happened to me? Good luck, honey. Oh no. So then, she introduced, oh yeah, Dana's, it's like, so she introduced her to Jax, right?
Like, so, hi, this is Charlie. She's new.
And Dana's like, I find it interesting that out of the two people Sheena was assigned to train, the only one she's not training is the one who happens to be going on a date with her ex. Now, I know that that's supposed to put you in a place of power, but it's just sad and thirsty. And also, you made out with Peter in a bathroom. So, still not sure about you either, lady.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also think it's sad that you actually find that interesting, that Sheena is, like, being cold to you because you're sleeping with her ex. So, you know. Anywho, so Sheena goes up to Dana. She's like, how's it going? And Dana's like, I just want to know, as a comedian, I just need to know, did I do anything to upset you? She's like, No. I was just like really upset the other night because like they were saying that I was like boy crazy, and I was like crazy. I'm not boy crazy. I just like to buy penguins for boys and go crazy over them. Okay. And it's like, if you're calling me boy crazy, then like don't hook up with your staff. You know what I'm saying? Like, huh.
I know you two are hooking up. And then we get the housewives. sound. And Dana's like, well, yeah, but it's like really new and I don't want to rub anything in your face. I hope you don't think that's my intention. And Sheena's like, no, I'm not rubbing my face. What are you going to rub in my face? Like, we're friends. What's that? We're just friends. Like, I don't even care about him. I mean, ding. I just did a find my, he's deleted his Apple Watch from my iCloud network.
So. Find my Apple Watch? Okay, well, that didn't work. Maybe I'll do a find my penguin. That didn't work. Find my Barca Lounger. Wow, everyone seems to have deleted their gifts from me from Apple. Okay.
We're just friends. It's a boring. And she's like, and that's what he said, that you're just friends. She's like, he said that? How could I? He's like, well, you know, I just want to... Oh, God.
There's like, you do him. And when you're done, can you just, like, clean the shelves, the kettles are on? Wow. Got her. Got her.
Nailed her. Hey, could you take these paper towels and polish those solo cups in the smoking alley? That'd be great. That'd
be great. It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Dana's like, okay, oh, and by the way, is it cool, like, when I'm done, like, dusting these shells that the candles are on, if, like, I can leave because Max is picking me up for our date? Sheena's sad.
I know Sheena tries to not look upset, but her face is like... and Dana tells us, I've read this book and I've seen this movie, so you're trying to make me feel bad to make yourself feel better? Do what you got to do to get through the day, Sheena. I'm like, what movie is this that you're referring to? What book and movie is what this? It's like,
first of all, no one on Vanderpump Rules reads books, not even imaginary ones or metaphorical ones.
That big Lifetime movie. It's like, I'm going to steal your baby and make you polish glasswell. It's like Joe from Facts of Life running from a feather duster so she doesn't have to do the shelves.
Nancy McKeon, if you will. So so now we hear like some cool beats. We hear like a and then like rapping, but like really like super white rapping. And then of course we see like Lala in the studio with Sean Tu, a music producer, and Lala's like, yeah. She's like listening in, like like it reminds it, like the way she was like nodding her head, like that's like the thing that you have to do apparently in music studios, is that you have to close your eyes and like nod your head and be like, yeah, I'm feeling the music, yeah. You know,
and
it reminded me of like an NBC drama from like 1995 where like someone has to like go into a music studio, and like the writers have never been into a music studio. They don't know how, the actors have never been in a music studio. Like, I think this is how it happens in here, you know?
Yeah, nod your head. Yeah, nod your head. Can we do that again? I need you to close your eyes while you're nodding your head. That would be great if we're going to get this shot. So yeah, her brother is here from Salt Lake City, and he's rapping, and he's like, party after party, the pressure on to climb. It's like, are you looking bored on purpose while you're, is this just bored rap? I like
that. I mean, it's really, you know, it's like he was really making G-Eazy seem like, you know, rap's wunderkind, this guy. I mean, you listen, listen, as we all know, Salt Lake City is a hotbed for hip-hop artists, especially the white ones.
Yeah, rap. That's where it's at. So she's like, yeah, Easton's my brother. He lives in Salt Lake still. He's like the chillest person ever. He makes music in my mom's basement. So I was like, you know what? If I can get him into the studio.
I'm like, this is like lame pie. What is happening here? You're like fake, like locale cookie. Cookie, whatever her face is named. I mean, it was just like, it was so bad. And then she's like, and then after he's done, she's like, when you can bring tears to my eyes, that's when you know you've got a heavy hitter. I'm like, okay, you're not Jimmy Iovine, whatever. Like, okay, sorry, Quincy Jones. Like, just relax, Lala, okay?
Yeah, relax, Cliff. So Lala's like, James is like, James comes in, he's like, what's up, bros? What's up, bro? Yeah, bro. Yeah, studio, bro. By the way, his, pupils are like black dimes. Just had to point it out. Going great over there.
I really need to know if, his younger brother is still working at Sir, by the way. I need to know if he's still like stumbling around in the back, like, Sir, can I get you some more water refills? No? Okay. Would you care for a cheesecake? No?
Oh.
We have great halibut. No?
He is, too. He is working. You know he's still working there.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lala, why do I keep going, Lala, he can bring tears to your eyes, that's a winner. I just want to read that line 20 times. Why? My notes, my eyes just keep focusing right there. So James comes in, and he tells us, the thing I miss most about Lala is, you know, creating music. Like, there were times we couldn't move because we created such bangers.
I know. Ain't nobody meant love you like I'm loving you. Whatever that song. Feeling
well,
like
see,
I'm feeling
we still
you.
Remember it.
Like I'm feeling you. Well, that is a good song. I like that song.
Feeling you. Like
ain't nobody
feeling
like I'm feeling you. Like I'm feeling you. Like I'm feeling you, boy. She loves saying boy in a song.
Party.
Boy.
Play it back. Play it back. Party after party, the pressure on the climb. And then the song ends and he's like, thanks for sharing that with me. That was the moment. That was the moment.
That was a moment. Let's listen to some more music and I'm going to put my fingers up to my temple and just nod and be like, yeah, beats, music, amazing.
Oh, so Lala's like, clear the room. I want to talk to Jameson alone. And then once Sean 2, the music producer, gets up, she takes his chair. She's like, all right, Jameson, let's go over it. What is Lala Pinky in the braining this entire... What is she doing? She's like...
She's literally acting like she's L.A. Reid. I mean, it's out of control what she's... Like, she's... Okay, skew. Let me give you some life advice, okay? Fuck a rich guy and then sit in a chair and look at people and you'll have power. Okay, what was the question?
Well, Lord knows he's tried. So, Lala's like, well, I've been asking to link up, and you haven't really given me much to work with, okay? And he's like, well, I didn't know if it was real or not, because last time we spoke, I just couldn't really connect with you, you know?
Yeah. And she's like, you know what? I've been really lucky enough to see the great James Kennedy, and, like, not everyone else has been able to see that. And, like, I really believe in you, James, and just, like, embrace the fact that you have to embrace the fact that you've done some really fucked up shit. And then we get like,
fucked up shit.
He's like,
what do you mean?
Like what? Fat shaming. It's like, you look stupid, fat and fat, Katie. And calling me a whore. You're a whore with a big, go out with a big fat man.
Calling Brittany a hillbilly. He's like, go back to Kentucky with the hillbillies, you hillbilly, hillbilly, billy, hill.
Like, I love this montage right now.
I know. It's like the James greatest hits. James
is so good.
He's like, okay, yeah. That was not nice. That was not nice then. All right. That was not nice.
So then they basically agree to unblock each other on Instagram, which is a pretty big deal. That's like almost as big as, you know, going to Marina Del Rey to play Scattergories, if you ask me.
Yeah. So then... Also, she's only doing this because if she doesn't have you to fuck over this season, we actually have to concentrate on her big storyline, which is picking up shit at the Vanderpump Rules dogs or whatever.
Yeah.
Vanderpump dogs or pets or whatever. Okay.
Yeah,
so
she doesn't work at Sir anymore. So, like, what else is she going to do?
Dana and Max go on a date.
Yeah, we have like a dueling scenes here because we have Dana and Max going on their date, but at the same time, we have Ariana, Sheena, and someone named Danica over at El Compadre.
Yeah. So yogurt, right? Danica. Is that a yogurt?
Dan and yogurt. Danica is like a race car driver.
Oh, okay.
Danica Patrick.
Yeah. So they're at El Compadre, which I can't believe they didn't bring Katie. You know, she finds the mariachi bands very romantic, apparently.
I forgot about that.
I go to El Compadre all the time. I love that they went there. And my friend is always like, let's sit right by the mariachi bands.
Oh my God. I can't hear you. We are right by a mariachi band. So Sheena's still in her Sir dress. And she's like, I feel like I'm in my Sir dress right now. It's all kind of crazy. And then, like, the camera settles in on Danica. It's, like, the first time we've actually really gotten to see her. And you just sort of see her, like, looking off in the distance and, like, fussing with her hair. I'm like, Raquel, this is your future. This is what you will be turning into.
Yeah. And Ariana's like, I just want to get this part of my arm cut off. The skin. I mean, like, our Ariana's not fat. She's got, like, a tiny... Like, everybody has, like, a skin on their arm, okay? Were you just going to skin yourself? My God.
I just want a dent in my arm, just for the fun of it.
Yeah, and Danica says, oh, my God, can I go with you? Because my aunt just got that done, and she's like a new woman. It's like, you know, you can barely even tell when she's waving at you anymore.
So Danica, we learned, is an assistant manager at Sir, but she's been suspended because her bartender boyfriend asked her if they could do a threesome, and so she shoved him, and so she got suspended, which I think is great. This is what a way to enter the Sir universe, Danica. Welcome. You are needed.
Well, I put Dana on the restaurant side, made her do all the work, because someone has to do it. It's not going to be me.
So they're talking about Max and this whole situation, and Danica's like, yeah, Max is like the thirstiest person I've ever met. And I say that as someone who is sitting here on this TV show right now. So, like, Max slept with, like, two of my friends and then told them that he owned some of TomTom. And they're like,
She goes, I hope this girl doesn't think she's special. And she's like, oh, she totally does. Like, Max is picking me up. Max is coming to get me.
So then we cut over to Max and Dana. And Dana is like, Dana's pulling a Riley. Actually, she's like, I'm just so annoyed that, like, Sheena's giving me busy work, but Charlie's getting all the real training. I'm like, you're a waitress. I mean, like, meaning that, like, not like, ugh, waitress, but, like, you got to clean glasses. Right?
I mean, yeah, I've always had to polish glasses. I like that that's just the fake storyline that Sheena pulls out of her butt. She's like, we don't really polish glasses.
I'm like, someone's got to do it. It's usually the waitresses. How many scenes have we sat through watching Katie roll up forks and knives and napkins?
Yeah, and the trick is to do them straight out of the dishwasher so you're not stuck with that stupid hot water bullshit. I hate that. And I always hate the head waiter who makes you do that. Like, put steaming water and then steam each glass. Guess how long water stays steaming? About 2 seconds, okay? And you have to re-steam the water. Anyway, the point is
that Dana has a point, I guess, is what you're saying. That she has a right to be a little annoyed right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care yet. So Max is like, well, Sheena's older than me, first of all, if we're going to talk about Sheena. And, that's fine, but she is older. And she told me she's going to stop using birth control and that she froze her eggs. I'm like, wow.
He's like,
Sheena.
Sheena's really smooth. She's like, okay, we're going to play categories, Max. Okay, here's the category. Where are my eggs? Okay, and you can't say freezer.
Spray and go. It's like, car wash? Like, no, spray and go. That's what I said. What do you think we're here to place categories? Stupid.
So, yeah, Max is basically saying that they only hung out for like a month. It was like no big deal, you know, which is like reminds me of last week when he said that the last time he hooked up with Sheena was when they stopped hooking up. I'm like, that's a very slippery timeline.
Yeah.
But then we go back to Sheena, and she's like, well, Max completely played me, okay? Like, he fully played me, and, like I know I'm, like, I know I'm, like, really stupid about giving boys gifts, like, but, like, I bought him, like, an Apple Watch for Thanksgiving. Like, who does that? I was, like, thankful he's in my life. I'm like, you got him an Apple Watch for Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is not a gift-giving holiday. What were you... an Apple Watch for Thanksgiving?
What? They just all laugh
so
at her.
Sheena. So Sheena.
And then back to Max, he's like, okay, well, you know, I left my sunglasses at Schwartz's, and then I went over there to pick them up, and Lala and Katie were there, and, like, they think you're awesome, so I just want to say that. Like, they think you're really awesome. Like, Katie wants to go to your comedy show. And then they cut to Katie being like, she's really awesome. Like, she's awesome. Like, well, you've got Katie's approval.
Wow, yes. Ringing endorsement there.
Yeah, Dana, I'm sorry to break this to you, but that means you're no threat. So you better up your game.
I also, that's true. I also just love the way that he casually mentioned that Dana has a comedy show coming up. I was like, oh, of course, she's a comedian too, of course.
Yeah. And he's like, so what about your mom? Like, I know she's dead or whatever, but I don't know about it in depth. And so she's like, she was my best friend. Then she got brain cancer. And that's how I bonded with Lala, basically, is the story. Like, her mom died, which is super sad. And she's like, and now I tell jokes about her. So, killing it.
Yeah. And Max is like, you know, there's real depth with Dana. You know, Sheena, she only talks about, like, photo shoots and emojis, but there's real depth with Dana. It's like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. This is going to be such a good disaster between the two of them. I love it.
Yeah, he goes, you know, like, the way that Sheena talks, it's not enlightening to me.
Sorry, sir.
Okay.
Let us not interrupt all your enlightening experiences you're having at Tom Tom. Sorry.
Yeah. So Sheena's like, Ariana, like, do you want to come back to Sur? Because it's like so windy and I'm working at Sur right now. And Ariana's like, yeah, well, I mean, basically I'm on a show and need to do something. So it's either pretend I care what Lala's brother sings or pretend to go out to lunch with James or work at Sur some more. So yeah, I'm going to try and work at Sur again.
I'll do Sur. So then we go to, we see like a bunch of things, but like we see Bo. Bo is a cast, works in casting. So we go to his casting office and Stassi is there. She brought lunch for him. And then they're like pretending like they're going to cast her. And she's like sitting behind a desk being like, I don't know what to say, even though she's been on TV for 8 years. So we see that.
She's like, this is crazy. And the casting place is called Castaway, which is just so offensive. Like, Tom Hanks didn't have to audition for that role, and the other person in it was like a volleyball or some shit.
The volleyball. Yeah. And Helen Hunt. Don't forget Helen Hunt was in it too. Oh,
that's true. But it's like the most hopeless name for a casting place ever. It's like, you have no chance. Welcome to Castaway.
Don't you feel bad for Helen Hunt and Paul Reiser that they rebooted Mad About You and like literally no one like knows or cares? I mean, it's been airing. It aired.
Is it last month?
I mean, I don't know, because it's airing on like Spectrum. I don't even know. It's like
Spectrum. Oh, it wasn't regular NBC.
It's like not on like regular anything. I'm like, you know, Paul and Jamie deserve better than that. Okay.
Well, I mean, that show, wow. But I remember them. I only knew it was coming back because I read some article where it was like, Helen Hunt is suffering from exhaustion after Mad About You. I was like, what?
What?
It was something Helen like Hunt. That. I don't know if I'm passing out bad information because I didn't really care. But I remember thinking, what? They're doing Mad About You again? I'm exhausted.
Okay. Imagine if Helen Hunt came to the Crappies. Imagine if she was a presenter at the Crappies. I feel like she'd be just like very serious. She would like come on stage and be like, well, when I was working with Jack Nicholson on As Good As Gets, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, she would. She totally Laura Linney it. Or like when Deborah Winger went on Watch What Happens and then she like totally ripped apart Andy the whole time. She's like, can you believe this idiot? What am I even doing here?
I would love to have Deborah Winger as a Crappies presenter. I would just love her to be angry at us, like be the best.
Just heckle us.
So this is what you guys do. You guys like talk about these shows. Aren't these shows bad enough? And then you have to talk about them. That's what you do. Oh, great, great. Okay. So the winner of Best Bravo Celebrity is I Don't Give a Fuck. Bye. Yes, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Deborah Winger. So over at Vanderpump Dogs, Lala is betting puppies.
Yes, she's doing that. And then
that's it.
And then that's literally it. She's just chasing after dog poop. And then we have like those Ariana and Sheena and Kristen and Brittany are like in some vintage place trying on veils.
Wedding dresses, because Katie saw on Pinterest where all these people wear tacky wedding dresses to a bachelorette party.
Wow.
Sheena's like, well, people thought my wedding dress was tacky, so I guess I could wear that.
I have some pictures of the wedding dress. Oops, I guess I saved them on the Apple Watch I gave to Max. Speaking of which, I don't think Max has opened up his Apple Watch yet. Can you guys check to see if he's opened up his Apple Watch? Thanks.
So Stassi and Bo spend another scene talking about how sick they are talking about Kristen, which is, you know, what it is. And then Lala and Vanderpump, she's like, I'm done talking about her ex-boyfriend, like, whatever. And Vanderpump is like, well, if they're still living in the same house, how can they be broken up? 2020, what have you got in store for me?
So then Kristen's telling the girls, she's like, you know, I'm like trying to be strong and make these choices, caca. And then he gets really sad. So then I feel bad, you know?
Katie's like, well, I know it's messy and it's not black and white, but like, so is friendship. And I just want to say, sorry for yelling at you. She's like, me too, I'm sorry too.
They fully hug. And then Brittany's like, but you know what? He doesn't need to come to Miami with us. So that's the thing. Is that, like, if you need a break from him, this would be like a really good way to start that break by not inviting him to Miami for my bachelorette party. So he's not invited. Is that cool? Is that cool?
Okay. Is Miami break? Where Jack supposedly knocked up a girl, or was that Vegas? It was Vegas, right?
I mean, name a state where
Tom Sandoval was Miami girl, right?
I mean, like, literally, like, Jax, it's like all across the country. It's like, you know,
possible babies.
I know. He probably fucked a girl in the four corners just so he could take care of four states at once, you know? Yeah,
the new DNA test, 23 in Jax, just to see how we're all related to Jax.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
So Kristen is really upset and crying, and Katie's like, I'm frustrated, which is hilarious. She's like, let's hug. Still hate your boyfriend. So then the Tom Toms are talking to Max, making a wacky scene at Tom Tom.
Yeah, they're like just like chatting, and Tom Sandoval walks up, and Tom Sandoval is like still doing a shift at Sir, because he's like, dude, even though I was fired, I went down there and like, man, it's like so good to walk home with a big wad of cash. So I still do a shift every now and then. I guess he does like spicy tequila. Didn't we go to that once? Did we go to one of his tequila nights? I feel like we went, or maybe I went. Like for like,
we went and we were like, hi, bye.
I think that's what it was. Like a hi, bye.
I went to one of those girls' nights when. I've told you about that.
Yeah.
The one where Billy Lee was all upset. I was there. What a glorious night.
Yes. So then, they're also like ribbing Max because word got back to them that Max has been saying that he owns Tom Tom. And he's like, no, I didn't say that. I just told these girls, like, you want to come to my bar? Like, meaning like the bar that I work at where I get enlightened. Okay. Like, not like I own this bar, you know?
He's such a liar, because did you see how he's like, oh yeah. I remember that exact conversation, bro. Remember that exact conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He goes, I mean, like, I do pretty well for myself with girls. I don't need to lie about owning a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you lie about owning girls, you know?
And he tells us, I've never thought I'd be 27 years old working at one of the hottest bars in Hollywood. Okay, are we gonna make it sound like being a general manager of a restaurant is like winning an Oscar? Calm your tits, Max.
All yeah, right. You're not Anna Paquin, okay? So... yeah, take that beret off your head, okay? So, yeah, he's like, I'll never choose a girl over work, except for the time that you slept with someone who works at your company, which is probably you.
He's like, I will choose a woman during work, but not over work. And he says, I had a girlfriend for like a year, but then when I started working here, that fell through. It's like, really? Because you suddenly had a steady supply? So then Tom is like, yeah, sorry, I was just about to go to a bad place.
I'll take you back. So now they start talking about Dana's comedy show, and Tom Schwartz is all worried. He's like, oh, I hope that she's funny, because like the worst is when you have to go see someone, they're like not funny on stage. We got a flashback of Tom Sandoval bombing on stage at the Improv, which was, yeah, I was like, I was really hoping that like Bravo's like our Vanderpump Rules comedy days were over, because we had those really terrible scenes of various cast members doing stand-up. I don't know why there was so much stand-up on this show, but there was a lot. But it looks like they're back.
Yep, here we go. So then Kyle Chan, it's not a season Kyle Chan. Freeloading off Kyle Chan in exchange for some screen time.
Another Kyle Chan moment. So this time it's Brittany and Jax. Jax is now in full like porcelain doll mode. And, you know, Brittany's trying on her ring, like, oh my God, look at this ring. Yay.
And she's already bought the anniversary ring too. And Jax is like, she thinks like, I don't see her expanding the budget, but I see.
He goes, does she think that she's Meghan Markle and whatever his name is? I'm like, really? Prince Harry's the hard name to remember. Yeah.
So they're talking about
what a timely reference for Jax.
Yeah. So he tells her, he's like, yeah, if that guy's not coming on this trip, Carter's not coming, and I'll be the bad guy. I'll be the one to tell him. And now it's nighttime, and Sheena is clocking in a fart. I just love watching Sheena clock in. I feel like they have a shot of Sheena clocking in every episode, and I appreciate it. You know, I just want a super
cut. Yeah, I also like that when she clocks in, it sounds like rain on the roof because of her nail. So it's always like... We should also mention, by the way, that apparently Carter was texting Jack to find out like how much are hotel rooms, how much does it cost to go down to Miami or whatever. So like,
yeah, because he's invited to go to Miami with everybody else. This cast is such, they're such assholes on this cast.
Yeah,
I think.
But basically, like, there, Jax is like, yeah, he's got a good scam going on. Kristen pays for everything, and like, he doesn't want Kristen to go to Miami without him because then the girls are gonna get in her ear and like make her like, you know, cut up daddy, mommy Warbucks is gonna like stop paying for Carter's lifestyle. So it's nighttime at Sir, and Sheena's like, back to training. Okay, Dana, what's the special tonight? And Dana's like, it's a pan-seared Chilean sea bass, also known as Patagonian toothfish. And we also have a tomato bisque and a tomato basil. Tomato bisque and tomato basil. I mean, am I right? Did anyone else just hear that? Tomato bisque and tomato basil.
Hey, sir, have you ever had a special that's not Chilean sea bass? Like, my God, that's all they serve.
Nothing but Chilean sea bass.
Nothing but fucking Chilean sea bass. Nothing but,
and it would be this sort of restaurant that would serve tomato bisque and tomato basil soup. Like, when Sheena's like, really? Tomato bisque and tomato basil? It's like, yeah, it's Sir. You guys once served, like, chunky, like, rutabaga stew or whatever it was. Like, yeah. Yes.
Remember when Lisa Vanderpump was trying out her new recipe for vegetarian bolognese? And you're like, so, tomato sauce?
I know.
Let's sew this place. So she just starts cracking up at Data's face. She's like, ah, yeah. Never mind. Never mind. You know what? Like, I just wanted to say one thing. Like, I feel bad because, like, I've been a bitch too. But there's something that irks me, and I hate it. Like, I hate that it irks me, but, like, sometimes I job with people, like her, the girl without an E in her name. And then sometimes I don't. Like, with you, I just don't. Like, I don't know why. Lady, who cares who you gel with? Train the person, okay? Nobody cares. You're at work.
Seriously. And so Dana's like, so are you sure it doesn't have anything to do with Max? She goes, no, it doesn't. Like, not at all. Like, I'm not really frazzled by that at all. What table is that? Quick, pop quiz. What table number is that?
Nobody knows, okay? It's Sir. Do they even have table numbers? I think they just serve Chilean sea bass so that they can make sure that everybody gets their order. You know, it's like Chilean sea bass. Chilean sea bass.
Yes. Oh, you are the Chilean sea bass? Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes, that tomato. Yes, that tomato soup is lobster bisque. Yes, it is. Because that's what it's called, tomato soup.
Yeah.
In business, we like to make people think they have a choice, but they don't. It's just Chilean sea bass.
Can I have a hamburger?
Sure, here you go.
It's like is this fish?
No, it is like a hamburger. Fish.
I ordered the brownie sundae for dessert, and I think you gave me Chilean sea bass.
No, that's a brownie. It's a sea bass brownie.
So over at the bar, Tom is greeting Ariana, who's just coming to talk to Vanderpump. And Ariana's like, I'm feeling like really out of it. Like, I just was on the way over here, and I heard a Justin Bieber song I'd never heard before, and cried. So
that is rough. That is rough for Ariana, man. You're crying to Justin Bieber songs. Woof. Wow.
So she's coming to talk to Vanderpump, who just saunters in, you know, as usual. And people are working. That's what I wrote. People work over and over again.
Yeah. The so basically Ariana and Lisa, things have been like a little strained since last season because of the season finale. Ariana confronted Lisa Vanderpump and told Lisa to stop treating Tom like such shit. And Lisa was like, you're poor. So she's like, there's some awkwardness there. In the meantime, we see some people ordering. Some lady orders like a strawberry virgin. And so then they're like putting it into the system. And Charlie is like, she ordered a strawberry virgin. And Brett goes, like, you guys, right? And Sheena's like, I would say that I'm saving myself for marriage, but I'm divorced. I could do stand-up too, Dana.
And Brett's like, like, now you're freezing your eggs. I know, Sheena. She's like, are you offering?
He goes, no, silly Sally.
He did?
Like, yeah, he goes, no, silly Sally. Brett, what was that?
So Brett's Sally. Like, obviously, if you looked up desperate in the dictionary, you'd see her face right next to it. So then we get my favorite set piece.
You looked up silly Sally? you'd also see her face.
We get my favorite set piece, the refrigerator. Thank God, I was worried for this refrigerator. I was like, are they going to be shooting somewhere else?
Yeah, so Brett pulls Sheena aside and he's like, listen, silly Sally, I care about you as my friend and I don't want the common knowledge to have anything to do with you and me sexually, but it's like not fair to you because like it's important for me that like you're in an independent mode in your life and so therefore like you don't have a boyfriend or anything like that because you're strong and you should be strong and like, you know, I have an opportunity to traverse this thought process and like, I don't know, like I feel like, I'm hot, you know, you're hot, but like maybe we shouldn't be hot together and like, I love Scattergories, but I don't know if I love Scattergories you know, and like, I don't know, like, you know, sometimes like, if you ever notice how sometimes like coasters, you like put your glass on them and it slides a little bit. I'm like, why? Why does it do that?
Got it. So he's saying that, but like, I don't know if I believe you. So how long does his monologue have to be? He's just not that into you.
She goes, she tells us like, you literally kissed me the first time we hung out. So obviously you felt something. It's called, he was drunk and horny. So yes, he felt something.
Yeah. So Ariana is now talking to Lisa, and Lisa's like, oh, hello.
Random person talking to me. I have no idea who is this.
Look at this very strong bird that has got two wings that function perfectly well, wings that flew away from me. All right, talk, person, talk.
I have no time for you, put together bird. Bird in working order.
Bird in working order. And I was like, I just want to come back here and work once a week.
But why? You're a bird who can fly. Why?
She's like, because it bothers me to be sitting around all the time. She's like, well, what I don't understand is when someone that you've employed for 10 years starts talking a lot of shit, quite frankly, about you, I don't see why that person, who I've employed for a decade, would want to come back here after a decade of being employed and stabbing me in the heart. Ouch.
Bird in working order, the greatest compliment to give your boyfriend is to ask him if he wants to be involved in our business. I gave him a manila folder.
And Ariana's like, and I apologize, but I get very emotional in relation to Tom. Like, let's just pretend that you actually had a contract that made any kind of sense and didn't totally try to put off not giving them a contract. Let's sweep it under the rug. Sweep it under. She's like, but you know what, Lisa? I want to work out our relationship. Whether or not I work here, I want to grow as a woman, just like you have. And she's like, oh, you'll grow. Is that your wing fluttering a bit awkwardly?
Growing? But here I thought you were a bird in working order that didn't need to grow any further. But now you need to grow to be like me. Oh!
Hopefully there's not something else wrong with you.
And Ariana's like, well, like depression, like really depressed. I have depression. Like I got a book. I got a house. I thought I should be happy. And guess what? Still not happy. So I'm super depressed. She's like,
you're all broken, birded up about it, little one.
Seriously, because she's like, have you decorated your new house? Secure, well-functioning bird. And she's like, well, honestly, we haven't, because there were days where I just like couldn't even get out of bed to pee. And Lisa's face is like, she literally mouths, no. Like, broken birding. So Lisa goes, it sounds like you're not happy with yourself. It's like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Why would you need to get out of bed to pee? Ken just does it right in the bed. Oh, depression. Oh, score. Can I have some Chilean sea bass as a side with this plate of depression? Thank you.
A properly functioning bird would get out of bed to pee and then would do many things with its life, like decorate its house. She must be broken.
You can have your job back, broke.
So Ariana gets her job back. And now let's go to the comedy venue, which I'm assuming is the Comedy Cellar, but I'm not really sure.
Nope. They are at the Federal in NoHo.
Oh, God.
You know? Yeah.
So that's some slim pickings over there. What happened with the comedy? No, not Comedy Store. Where do we have the crappies?
That's the improv? Where
they always, the improv. Duh. Sorry, improv. I'm a dick.
Yeah. I mean, I think that.
What's your local haunt?
Here's the thing. comedy shows in bars.
Wow, you're getting really
in
serious.
The Valley. If you get invited to do a comedy show at a bar in the Valley, you just know, you're like, okay. You're like, all right, I'm supporting my friend moment right now.
Yep. And Lord knows I've dragged enough people to those in my life.
I was about to say, I mean, that's why you said you would, when you were working on stand-up, you said you did it up in the Valley, because it's not like...
So all the open mics are there, you know? All the ones in Hollywood are too busy to get into, you know? It's all people from UCB, like, telling serious jokes, you know? They're like, they went laughing because they just didn't get it, brah!
Yeah.
Yeah, Valley is where you really go for some desperation and comedy. Love you, Val. Love ya. Be there soon. I'll be there. I'll be at an open mic in that little seafood restaurant soon.
So Dana is very nervous about her big gig at the Federal, and she's like, I mean, I just feel so naked, and Max being there is making me feel even more naked than when I was actually naked in front of him and he was entering my body. I was like,
I'm not sure about these new people. Okay. So far we've had look it up in the dictionary. Really, that's all that's sticking to my mind. But.
You're just being a silly Sally, Ronnie.
Silly Sally. Okay, so here we go for some comedy. And where's Katie?
Rebels of comedy.
Katie's at home. She and Stassi are renovating. And then we cut to Stassi going, we're going to make this more feminine. I have this candle, so it'll start smelling like me.
Oh, great. So
you're a real Gwyneth.
I know. Goop. Poop. So basically they're all like the gang is there like waiting for Dana to come on stage, and Max is like talking about Sheena being super possessive again, and like he's talking about it so much that I'm like, I know Sheena's possessive, but I don't know, something feels fishy to me, and I'm not saying that because Brett is on the show now. Like something really feels like me think he doth protest too much, like something happened and he's like already setting up his defense, you know?
Yeah,
his alibi.
Something. So Stassi, who cares? Okay, so Tom and Max, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I skipped to the candle scene again. What is wrong with me, you guys? It's written like line by line. Okay, so Lala's like, well, Sheena has like peed on you. Okay, so you're like hers. And Ariana's like, well, she doesn't feel like that about other girls he's hooked up with. And Lala says, yeah, but she's still hooking up with him. So now let's get to the comedy.
So Dana takes the stage and she's like, yeah, I'm from Seattle. And like, it's like I moved to LA and like people like don't want to like talk to you here. It's true. And like people wear their AirPods to check the mail, and then like it's like if someone tries to talk to you, it's like I don't want to go press pause, you know. And if you don't get that job, that joke, you're poor. It was
also, you know, guess where else okay people job. Don't really want to talk to you? Seattle. Like, is it just me? I mean, it's not like that's the. I think people are similar.
Yeah, I think so. If you ever read the book, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? The entire book is about a lady who doesn't want to talk to people in Seattle.
Well, or me in Seattle. Maybe it's just my face, but nobody wants to talk to me in L.A. or Seattle. So,
Why do you think Tom Hanks had so much trouble dating there?
Why was Meg Ryan sleepless? She just wanted somebody to say hello, okay?
She's doing her comedy. She's like, does fine. Actually, she actually does better than other comedy acts we've seen on this show. And she tells us, you know, she's like, you know, I took the job at TomTom and then now Sir, so I could make enough money to leave my job in healthcare sales and focus on my real passion, which is comedy. I was like, what? Dana does healthcare sales? And my real passion, which is comedy. I was like, you know what? This show still, I love this show. I'm sorry. I love it. All these, I love it.
Season one, Bravo, you know, they pay you like $5. So poor thing. Probably it's like you're on a national TV show and you still can't quit your job in healthcare.
Yeah. Healthcare sales, which I guess, I don't know. I wasn't going to say anything about healthcare sales. I just think it's hilarious that, it's like so LA to be like, I work in healthcare sales, but my real passion is comedy. Yeah.
So Katie is over helping Kristen pack, which means she's obviously waiting for someone to come over and shit on Kristen, because I don't believe that Katie would just be like, oh, yeah, I'll be at your house to listen to you pack, or, you know, listen to you pack, because Kristen will just go on and on.
And right? Trixie was ready, by the way, because when we go to Kristen's apartment, Trixie goes, he's no, 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 good for you. No, 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 good for you. Lock that one in, Paul. We're going to send that one to the record companies and get back on the label.
So Jax comes over and he's like, oh, packing, huh? When do you have to get out? And Kristen goes, 2 days. And he's like, yeah, you just get through it. You know, like, I mean, you might want to kill your significant other, but you're going to do it because, you know, I'm getting married. So I know what that's like.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, like, Carter's been, like, taking shit to the house. And, like, I've been pushing back a lot and having him help. But then now I'm like, help, please. Please help me, Carter. And he's like, Jax is like, you know you can rent help, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, Jax is making sense again.
Yeah, and Carter calls her. And he's like, oh, hey, I'm on my way back now. You know, I was just catching up with Ignacio about those guest doors. They look sick. And we decided that we're going to, and Kristen's like, no, we're filming right now, okay? Look, don't say we, because, like, you know, I have to be part of this conversation, okay? We're totally not together, so I don't know why you're talking to Ignacio about guest doors, so.
Carter, I know, seriously. And I like that Jax goes, Carter doesn't have a truck. He's, like, not even moving boxes. He has a 2-seater BMW that Kristen is helping him pay for. So, like, what exactly is his role in all this?
Yeah. And everyone, you know, no one's falling for this, because this is what Kristen's been doing, like, for the past year. So, right. Kristen's like, Katie's like, I mean, he's moving for you. He's calling about doors. He's talking to Ignacio. That's not a boyfriend. That's a husband.
Yeah. And then Kristen's like, oh, I just feel badly because, like, he's being very wonderful right now. And Jax is like, yeah, because he needs a place to live. No wonder why, you know?
And yeah, Kristen's ask the, like, guy, oh, ask the old man in Miami how nice I was being to him.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's the reason why Jax is so on point with this stuff, because he has been Carter multiple times to multiple women. He is, like, the king manipulator. He sees it,
yeah,
you know? So Jax is going to tell Carter that he can't come to Brittany's party or whatever. And Kristen's like, well, I'm not 100% confident that we should be together, but I'm not 100% confident that we shouldn't be together. I'm like, you know, that's implied by just saying you're not 100% sure you should be together. But basically she's trying to, like, she's basically, Carter's manipulated her and she's, like, all messed up right now.
I don't know. Kristen's pretty codependent. I mean, I think she's codependent, but I don't know. I have trouble blaming Carter for every single thing, because if you're breaking up with someone, then you don't have them move you, you know, unless you're just a fucking user, you know, which is not really much better.
Yeah, but when Carter later on says, well, I text her and be like, well, without me, who's going to do this for you? Who's going to do this for you? He's like, that is such a way to make people codependent. Be like, after me, you won't have anyone. Like, I'm the best that you can get, right? Like,
well, I took it as him saying, like, if she's breaking up with me, she can't call me every day to have her move her shit, or she can't call me to, like, come film her videos and all that stuff. Like, I agree. Fair. You know, I don't know. It's hard to know because they're both a mess. But yeah, he seems like a total asshole. And
but she's the one paying the money. You know, though, she's the one paying the bills. So
it's the same thing with James. You know, it's the same thing that was happening with James. She was paying for everything with James. James was a total crap head, and, you know, blah blah blah. And then, of course, what happens when they start breaking up? She's still obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Her breakups. I mean, someone like you know, when she broke up with Tom Sandoval, that was like, that took weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon weeks. So yeah. She's
so Jax is like, well, if I was milking this cow, I wouldn't want to leave, because, like, why would I leave a free cow?
Everyone's like, you mean free milk? I like, you just, like, excited just to have a cow.
Well, cows are expensive. So they are. Kristen's like, big. I think Jax is on a high horse right now, right? You're almost a husband. We get it, Jax, but you're still Jax Taylor. Cuckoo!
It's like, are we talking about horses or cows? I'm very confused. So yeah, like, and Jack says what I've been saying, which is like, you know, like, all Carter has to do is pay his bills. I mean, everyone has to get a job. I mean, Uber's always hiring, Lyft is always hiring. I was like, oh my god, kill me now. Jax is saying the things that I say. This is terrible.
Yep. So Carter comes over and it's time for the big talk, and Carter's like, oh god, I guess you're the bearer of bad news, huh? Like,
Katie could not look more excited. She's sitting there like, Katie has, so far this season, Katie just is lingering in the corner, smiling and gathering gossip for other people.
Yeah. So Jax, yeah. Let's see.
So Jax pulls Carter. So Jax pulls Carter into the other room, and he's basically saying to Carter, like, you guys need to take a break. You guys are supposed to be breaking up. So take like a month break. Like, this is ridiculous. It's going on too long. And Carter's like, well, do you think that's a good idea? Really? Do you really, really think? I mean, like, how often are we going to see each other after she moves to the Valley? And Jax is like, yeah, you're not supposed to see each other. That's like the whole point of a breakup, you know? And he's like, well, like, don't you think that's a decision that she should be making, not you, basically? And he goes, like, no, you need to make it because she can't break up with you because she's like dependent on you. And he's like, well, I don't. Why should I make that decision if I don't want it? Then that's when Carter revealed. He texts her like, well, when I leave, who's going to be here? Who's going to be there for you?
Yeah, because he says, I want her to know, like, when things go to shit, I'm always the one she calls. And now I'm going to have to drive to the fucking Valley to clean up her mess instead of, you know.
But you know what, though? If he's saying that he doesn't want to break up, and then he's saying, it'd be one thing if he says, like, I don't know. I think that, like, if he doesn't want to break up and then he's texting, if she says she wants to break up and then he texts her saying, like, when you leave, who's going to be there? Who's going to be there? That sounds pretty manipulative to me.
Well, but I don't think that she is. I think the friends are mad at her because she's telling them that she's breaking up with him, but she's not really breaking up with him. She's still together with him. She's telling them that they're broken up because she doesn't want them to be mad at her, but she's still living with him and having sex with him and stuff. I mean, she says on camera all the time, you know, like, when anything happens, she's like, ooh, and then cries to him right in front of everybody, you know, like she did last week at the party when he got confronted by Lala outside. And then she's like, I'm so sick of everybody else trying to. Well, you're the one. Such a mess. But I think she's getting in trouble because obviously still dating the guy. And she's just trying to make it a storyline that she broke up with him. But it's obvious she didn't.
I think that she is a mess for sure. And she has issues with codependency with men, but I think that he exploits that. And I think that that's what we're seeing here. Like, yes, I think it is fair to be like, listen, you broke up with me, but then you keep calling me for stuff. Well, then he needs to tell her no, like, we're broken up, you know? But it sounds like he's in it to, like, because he has nowhere to live and he has no income. And so he is saying these things knowing that he's gonna like make her feel guilty and like sort of prey on her weaknesses. So ultimately, like, yes, she shouldn't, like, if she says she can break up, it should be broken up, but he is also doing whatever he can to like play those mind games with her,
codependent,
you know?
Relationships.
I know, they're the worst. Burn.
I mean, it sucks enough to like be in one, like in those periods of time I've had that, you know, but god, to watch it is even, it's even worse than being in it.
And Carter's like, something. You know, things have been getting a lot better. I mean, like, things have been going on the right track for a while. And Jax is like, well, she told me you're broken up, so it can't be that great.
Yeah, and he's like, by the way, you're not coming to Miami, so there.
Yeah. So then, like, Carter's like, okay, fine. So he hugs Kristen, and he's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, ah! And they're having this, like, emotional hug. And then it just cuts to Katie and Jax just standing there, like, awkward.
Yeah, but that look that Kristen gives when she goes to hug Carter, she's like, oh. Like, she's annoyed that Jax had to talk with him. Come on. He was doing that for you.
I know. Codependent couples draw all their friends into their drama. And then ultimately, what happens is friends get sucked into these positions of having to intercede. And then it's the friends who always get burned because the codependent couple always stays together and are so awful together. So if you're in a codependent relationship, just know that this is what we think.
Isn't that fun? Okay, that everybody. Fun? Thanks, everybody, for being with us today for Vanderpoop Drools. We will be. That was a long recap. Jesus.
Hour, how long was it? It feels like it was
an hour
5 hours.
And 20-something minutes long. My God. Thanks to everyone who's still with us, darling. We'll be back tomorrow morning with Real Housewives of New Jersey before we do the Crappy Awards this Friday. Wowee. We'll see you guys all there.
Yeah, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
What were you going to say? There's still what?
There's still time to vote. That's all I was going to say.
Go vote. Yes, go vote for the crappies. There's still, what,
some of the categories
left?
Are like, some of the categories are only like a difference of like 100 votes. So every vote matters in a fake award show, okay?
Yes, and go get your tickets for next week in Detroit and Columbus. And we will see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.